This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. Let's check in on the markets.
Yes, looking at the US markets, the Dow was down 0.6%, S&P 500 closed flat, and Nasdaq rallied up 0.9%.
And if we take a look over at the Asian markets, mixed day. The Hang Seng was up 0.4%, and so was the Shanghai Composite. That was up around 0.2%. The Nikkei 225 was down 0.9%. The Korea Kospi was down 0.4%. And so was the S&P ASX 200 out of Australia. That was also down 0.4%. Close in the region, the Singapore Straits Times was just slightly in the red, down 0.04%. But the FBMK LCI was down 0.5%. Moving further away from the 1600 mark, we closed at 1,570 points yesterday, 3.5% in the red year to date.
And for more insights into global markets, this morning we're speaking with Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Tim, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. So the Fed's hawkish tone caught financial markets by surprise. How do you think US and global equities will be reacting in the short term to those announcements?
Well, the knee-jerk reaction was along the lines of my expectation that you'd see the rise in yields, bond yields, and more rotation into the value and cyclicals, namely financials. However, I think the old adage that when the market doesn't react the way you think it should, then maybe it's an overcrowded trade. And this happened today. I think the market reversed course, and you're seeing this, the financials and the cyclicals and value got hammered, i.e. why the Dow was down. And I think you've looked at the technology sector that showed some strength. So, you know, it was a little bit perverse in as to my thinking. However, 10-year yield at 1.5%, I don't think there's much more downside for it to go. And, I think this is one of those corrections that you can take advantage of to sell bonds or lighten up on bonds and maybe move more into the value and cyclical.
How might this hawkish tone change your strategy?
It actually feeds my strategy. In fact, what I'm really concerned about, though, and I think what would concern me as a market participant is, let's just say everyone thinks the Fed's on this schedule and they're on their schedule. And what if they're not on their schedule? What if the market dictates their schedule? That's where there'd be a problem. So I'm of the belief that we're going to continue to see more strength in the economy, and we're going to see more upward pressure on prices that I'm not sure it will be transitory.
Tim, if I remember correctly, financials are a sector that you're particularly favorable on. Does this boost that sentiment of yours?
Yeah, it really does, and I think I even look at what, Jamie Dimon remarked at J.P. Morgan, that this would be the best investment banking quarter that he's ever seen, which is a big statement. So I think these financials with the strong investment banking arms are probably ones that will outperform. But yeah, I still like them because I still hold that the curve's going to steepen and that we're going to see a lot more share buyback, return of capital to shareholders and dividends and buybacks. So I still do favor financials, yes.
Yeah, but with regards to investment banking, I think it might have been Jamie Dimon, it may have been someone else, but they were basically talking about how the amount of investment banking they saw last year, the trading revenue that they saw, that's going to flatten out going forward, or at least the growth is not going to be as steep. How does that fit into banking financial story, right? Because a lot of investment banks have seen some serious capital gains over the last 6 or 7 months.
Well, they certainly have, and I think that it's really the trading. It's a very difficult trading market here. There was a lot of front loading of debt issuance, obviously, which was good for the financials. But I think it's really concentrated in M&A. So the trading, I think, is going to take a backseat here unless we get some volatility, which could happen. And then, of course, trading comes back into play. But I think it's really more the M&A activity that is the real gem here.
So, Tim, as it reopens, the U.S. is facing a labor shortage in certain parts of the economy. Which sectors do you expect to be particularly impacted by this shortfall? And should investors then give those sectors a wide berth?
Yeah, you're looking at the hotel and the service sector, hotels, and I think the restaurants. And, there's having a lot of trouble filling these positions. And, mainly because a lot of these unemployment benefits still go. People are getting paid not to work. But what this is, the lower end of the wage spectrum in the big scheme of things. And what these entities are having to do is really attract workers by raising wages. That's why I think that the wage sector is not going to be transitory, because I think they're going to have to do a lot of work and to attract workers back in these areas. And that's going to be, you know, again, the service sector is one that they're having a difficult time with. So I think that's going to see upward wage pressures for at least for me, the foreseeable future.
Some of the FANG stocks like Apple and Amazon are trading above S&P 500's average price earnings. How do you feel about the prospects in smaller tech companies given the valuation disparities?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good question. And, you know, everybody knows that these big techs, the, you know, Amazon, which incidentally was having trouble, I think, taking out its all-time high. But, you know, Apple, Amazon, Google, those, we all know how powerful and how strong they are. Although I don't think that their earnings expectations will be realized going forward. But when you look at a company, let's, for example, say Oracle, that has, what is it, just below 17 times trailing 12-month PE, that is, to me, where I think you can, your downside's limited. And I think you can really take advantage of growth in some of these companies, which I think Oracle probably has a good shot. And it's just, again, as an example. So the low PE tech stocks, or the value sector of the tech sector, is probably one that I think has potential. And I certainly favor it more than I do these high flyers, which, you know, I mean, they're high flyers for a reason, you know, and we saw that today, that the market still gravitates towards those big names because they're strong and believe in them. But I do think there's value, and I think that the valuation disparity is noteworthy, and that's where I would look to allocate capital.
Tim, very quickly, though, let's take a look at commodities, because they fell sharply overnight and continue to a few months of gains here and waiting on equity markets. And part of this was because China took some steps, I guess, to cool off prices as the US dollar strengthened as well. So we saw some futures prices for palladium and platinum fall 11.7%, but also corn futures were down, and contracts tied to copper. Oil also fell off, I think, 1%. With all this in mind, do you still see a story here for the commodities boom that we're seeing? Is this just a blip in that trajectory?
Oh yeah, I think this was a real shake of the tree in the commodity sector. But you know, the dollar rallied sharply. You know, we got what, to 119 handle in the euro, and I think that you know, in my view, for my theory to work with this valuation play, the financials and rotation play, I think what you're going to have to see is a weaker dollar and weaker bond prices in tandem. And you know, what you saw today was stronger dollar and stronger bond prices, and that's what feeds that trade. But I think it was a dollar story more than anything, and a very crowded trade. They say that the commodities were the only thing more crowded than Bitcoin, I guess. So that might have played out today, but I think it's a dip worth buying, because I'm not so sure this is over.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, talking a bit about, yeah, you know, we did see the dollar strengthen against the ringgit as well over the, I think, the past roughly 24 hours. The ringgit is now at 4.1395 against the US dollar. All right, and we're going to be taking a look at more major headlines from the papers and portals up next, but first, some messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.